when I told you that I have an anxiety issue?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Kind, The Creative, and The Chaotic. With me, your host, Kelly Jade, and designated sound guy slash co-host now, I guess, Wayne Naylor.
Wow. You sound real unhappy about this.
No. No, I'm very, very glad you're here, actually. How are you finding the podcasts?
I'm finding it good, you know. Getting in there, you know, just really figuring out my role. Just, you know, just really, me and the lads were working really hard today.
Yeah. You and the lads?
Sorry, I was trying to do like those football interviews. So oh. Like, after a football game, there's always like them fake sort of like, yeah, me and the lads, you know, just worked 110%, you know, just trying to do our best, working hard. We had some good competition today. It's just, yeah. They're like, the kind of interviews go nowhere and they say nothing.
Yeah.
And you're just like, why was I here for 2 minutes? Listen to him say literally jack shit. Welcome to my entire mood.
But do you feel like you're seeing my face too much now? You're seeing it pretty much every Saturday, Babs.
Listen, I don't want to say anything.
Oh.
No, I'm joking.
Right, all right.
No, it's cool.
No. I mean, you know, I have probably got a bit of a face for radio. The listeners don't have to deal with seeing my face as well.
Yeah, that's very untrue.
The silence. The audacity. But I mean, some people have very... Actually, I won't say who. One of my friends decided to message me the other day on Facebook and they said that you have a very nice voice. So it seems like you have a sexy voice for radio. Maybe you should host the show.
Do you want to have this out with your friend? 'Cause I feel like I'm in the middle here and I don't really want to
repeat
that.
But it is funny how sometimes people's voices can sound like really good or really not good.
Yeah.
Because I never want to see what Disney's Robin Hood looks like in real life because it would just ruin a lot of things for me. Because that voice. Ooh, oh, Dalali.
I know, Dalali.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah. Back to the matter at hand. So, today's show is a good one. We have someone pretty damn awesome joining us. Photographer, videographer, who is now killing it in her line of work. The one, the only, Just Esme. Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on the show.
No problem.
How are you doing today? Are you excited to be here?
I was so excited. I barely could sleep last night.
Oh, man.
It was, you know, like Christmas as a child.
You get to meet Wayne in real life.
I know. I've been really excited for this day. I've actually had a calendar. I just like marked it down every single day. And, you know, now the day's arrived and they say never to meet your heroes. And they were wrong because he's awesome.
Oh, hey. I thought it was about to get real shady in here real quick.
No. I think we've had enough shade on this show already, guys.
I just want to say, like, if I'm your hero, are you okay? That's a real low bar you set. Like,
well, you know, they say don't set yourself up with disappointment.
Hey, well, I've got a very soft spot for this lady. Mainly to do with how we made friends, and I always make you tell.
I knew you were gonna tell. I knew. How did I know? I feel like the main reason for you to bring me on here was so you could tell this story.
I'm gonna tell.
Properly excited about it.
I know. I've already like given a prelude.
Okay.
Here.
Okay. Well, tell the ladies.
I don't tell it as well as you because I feel like you say it so much more enthusiastically than I.
Really?
Well, yeah. Okay, let me try. But you can cut in as you probably will.
Well, how about we do a sentence each?
All right. Well, I'm ready. I'm ready to give it a go. I don't know how to start though. Like, because I don't want to give the whole backstory.
Okay.
I mean,
those kids don't want to hear it.
One sentence each might be a bit difficult.
Yeah, okay. I don't really know how to start. It's more like, you know, I was working at a place and we needed someone to join ranks and help out. And I was recommended Kelly as someone, as a potential. And I received a CV from Kelly Jade and actually read it through and thought she sounded awesome. this sounds really stalkery though. And then like checked her out on Facebook and was like, oh, at this time I was thinking about jumping ship and starting my own business. And I thought this girl's too good for this place. And I really wanted her to work with me on my future project. So then we met up and we just got on like a house on fire. I never really got that saying, got on like a house on fire. It's quite morbid really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it depends.
People are dying in that house.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think it's on fire as in like, you know, great music, people partying, like the metaphorical fire of life rather than actual fire and death. Yeah, that would be much more.
So are they trying to say that like houses on fire, like, you know, the great dynamic duo?
I might have to look this one up because I've never really thought about this before. But anyway, we got on well. That was the point.
So basically, now we have a friendship via a CV. I doubt this has ever happened before in the galaxy.
If it has, please let us know because Kelly is so excited about this. And I would much like to hear other CV-related friendship stories so that we could bring them together.
I would love it. If anyone, please do get in touch because I would love that. But we did continue working together.
Yes.
Because then you started up your own business.
Yes.
And you took me on board. But I was there to see the highs and the lows. Mm. And this was like a year or so back, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was like nearly 2 years
already. How would you describe the company? It was like a social media...
Yeah, a social media marketing company, but we basically kind of... Because we worked together in a place before, which was a social media marketing company, but I just wasn't happy with the way we were treated. We were exploited quite... You know, really underpaid, but made to do so much, and just really undervalued and not even listened to. And and it just occurred to me that we were doing everything, and they actually added zero value except making us feel horrible on a daily basis, and also not paying us a lot of money. So I just kind of spoke to my colleague and was like, "We could do this on our own. Let's do it." I think we managed to catch it right at the point where social media was. And marketing, like, it was really, really, really starting to take off, and businesses were just realizing that they needed it.
Yeah.
And we provided the whole creative package, so not just like the actual activity of posting and doing analytics, but also making like the creative stuff, making like the graphics and the videos and stuff like that. So we would kind of like the whole package at that point.
And I mean, that's that company is so different to. Well, not completely different, but quite different to what you're doing now. Because I know towards the end, it didn't go exactly how you'd hoped it to.
I think I just realised I wanted slightly different things. Like, I'm not really driven by power or status. Like, I love to be creative, and I was becoming less and less creative and having to be more driven by money and, like, stuff like that. And, you know, me and my business partner at the time just, had a different outlook of what we wanted, and I'm following a path that's a lot better suited to myself now.
I do think that the how that all changed and everything was the root of your uprising and into what you're doing now. Like, I truly believe that was meant to happen.
It forced me to really take a look at what I wanted from the world. And you know, I'd always had such strong ideas of who I wanted to be in this, not in myself, but what I wanted to do. Even, you know, I started off thinking I wanted to be a performing artist and doing theatre school, and I always wanted to do that. I always wanted to be a movie star or something.
And I then, did not know that.
Did you not know this? Yeah, so I went to like drama school and...
Exclusive.
from the age of like 11, I was in drama school, and before that I was in drama club, and I always wanted to be a famous superstar. and that was my main drive all the way up until I went to college and I started discovering like rock music and stuff when I was in secondary school, and I always felt like a misfit and stuff, and I really identified with rock music and punk and stuff like that. So that started changing what I wanted, and instead of, I didn't want to be this like jazz hands and, you know, like kind of perfect like dull faced person. I wanted to be I really wanted to like show my celebrate my differences and celebrate my individuality. And I decided to run away from drama school and join a rock band and get tattoos and do the opposite, basically, of everything I'd ever been doing. But I still wanted that whole being a front person of a rock band.
Yeah.
Which then again changed because I can't imagine... I'm like, keep me behind the camera now. Like, I've had such an arc of of that. So,
but I do think that, I mean, we haven't even told the audience where you work at the moment, but it's still all interlinked and it's kind of gone by and back on itself, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So would you like to tell everybody what you do?
So I currently work for Kerrang! Magazine and I do stuff also for Mixmag, videography and editing. Our main project at the moment is something called the K-Pits, which is like a live streamed gig, essentially.
Cool.
And we put like the largest bands into this venue called Blondie's in Clapton. And it's this really cool little rock and roll dive bar and it holds about 50 people. And
it's a bit mega, isn't it?
Yeah, like we had Mastodon in there not too long ago and they're pretty big and you just squeeze them into this like tiny space where they're like, you know, probably used to these massive stages and stuff. And that was just insane. I think like the Facebook views reached over 280,000 or something. And
Whoa.
on YouTube, it's nearly 200,000, which is for a relatively new video kind of project or channel, or that's quite good.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I've kind of been working on those.
So basically, Esme's been hanging out with rock stars and basically she's been being a rock star, which is super casual and totally normal.
I wouldn't say that. It's just been really strange because I've found myself in situations where ordinarily I probably would have struggled like with, you know, social anxiety and stuff like that, and actually kind of it came to me at the perfect time where I'd gone through this phase of self-discovery, and I realized at the beginning of this year that I've transitioned from kind of learning about my patterns and my behaviors to observing last year, recognizing things, and this year I'm actually being able to change things as well. So you know, I can recognize when things are happening and actually put into action slightly different kind of behaviours, which has been really great. And yeah, it's just been a really kind of awesome year, really.
Yeah.
And I think working with Kerrang! Has really done a lot for my confidence and stuff. And to be honest, in that industry, I can't pick out one person who has acted like a diva or a dickhead or...
Well, that's nice.
Sorry, if I'm not allowed to... Am I allowed to swear on this?
Yeah.
Great. Cool. I don't think I've just... I've experienced that. Everyone's been, for the most part, pretty humble and, genuine and down to earth. So you haven't had to feel like you've had to adjust their behaviours, you know?
Yeah. I know that you've wanted to... do something more along these lines for a while, like be left to your own creative devices and with people that trust you and, you know, that respect you. Have you had to deal with any sort of like mansplaining or shit?
Well, there was this very lovely story of a time I was on a shoot and I was the only female.
Yes.
And I, you know, my job was as a videographer and we were working with someone who was quite very well respected. This isn't for the Kerrang, by the way. I just want to clarify, this is for a very different company. So we were working with a well respected man in the rock industry who was also like a music producer. and this company that were filming seemed very dismayed by the fact that I was about to stand in front of, or behind, I would like to say, behind one of the main cameras shooting said video. Mm-hmm. And basically said to me, oh, you do realise that that's going to have to do quite a lot of movement. You're probably going to have to be quite active on that camera. And I looked at them and I was like, yep. And in my head, I was thinking, this is what I do for a living. I have used a camera before.
The audacity.
Yeah, the audacity. And not only that, but when it came to doing makeup, they assumed it was my job as I was the female and also the furthest away from said act, and called me over, handed me like a powder palette, or actually firstly asked if I had any makeup with me to use on the act as if that was something I should have prepared for.
That you always, because you're a woman, yeah, you're going to have makeup.
Yeah, or that I was just automatically a makeup artist.
Yeah.
And he was like, don't worry, I've got some. And then stood next to me and pointed out all the areas that I needed to apply the makeup.
So even if you were the makeup artist, he's still telling you how to do your job.
Well, why couldn't he just have done it? Like, he, I don't understand why it was down to me. Like, it's not. Anyway, so that was something that stood out in my mind, because I think that's one of the only times really that I've witnessed pure, like, ignorant sexism. Mm. Like, it wasn't even, I don't feel like it was
industry.
Oh, it was. It's not even that, because I think it is the industry and that's the problem, or it has been in the past, that there is such a it's like so underpopulated with females.
Yeah.
That it's just assumed, and so it wasn't a thought through process. He didn't. It's just automatic. You know, it was just assumptions from their conditioning of the industry that they've probably worked in for a long time. They're just so used to that that they've therefore kind of done that. And I was just a little bit shocked and a bit like, but also it was a really nice learning experience for me, because I kind of swallowed the urge to be like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Yeah.
And just kind of swallowed it, carried on, because at the end of the day I was there just to do a job.
Yeah.
And actually, when I got back, the other camera person who I was working with and the lead on the shoot was like, well done for that. That, you know, you well done for just doing, like, you know,
carrying not on.
Yeah. And potentially a few years previous to that, I would have probably been less restrained, and especially in my face. I'm not very good at hiding what I think.
You have a very emotive face.
Yeah, like, it's very difficult for me to hide what I'm actually thinking, even if I'm trying very hard to. So for me, I was like, okay, I've come really far, and just, you know, not kind of feeling like I could be like, excuse me, sir, I just want to point out here that you do have hands of your own, and you could, as you seem to know so well how to do this, that you probably could have just do it yourself. So yeah, that was quite it was a positive experience in that sense, that, you know, it was learning, yeah, teaching.
But no, it's like, well, what you say is completely true. Like, it's just sort of like, it's kind of sad that even in the times we're in, there are so few sort of videographers and stuff like that, and like people behind the cameras. Like, they're obviously there, and there's obviously quite a bit, but like, they're not really getting hired, and not really sort of getting the light shone on them. Like,
I think, yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, for the, it's nice to see a lot more females in like, especially in Kerrang, we have a lot of female photographers now, which is so lovely.
That's
to
awesome.
See. There's, I mean, to be honest, there's Kerrang's just such a wonderful hub of people. There is no one that you can kind of point out and say, oh, you know, this person's bad. Cause, like, everyone's, I think at Kerrang, because of where it comes from and why, you know, the sort of music that it covers, everyone is comes from a misfit or a kind of background of not feeling like they belong or being different in some way, and everyone's got that. I think maybe that's why even the bands are very humble, because they've gone through, they're probably doing the music because they've suffered some sort of like feeling of not belonging, or, you know, bullying or something. Yeah, it's nice to kind of feel like, you know, things are changing, definitely.
I mean, it does irritate me, because, for example, I know that you know your craft very well. Wayne, I've seen this girl turn a dish of pasta into a masterpiece.
Like, I mean, love food.
I love my pasta, but honestly, it was just a work of art. But obviously, so many companies just use mobile phones now. Like, for example, Wayne's Samsung phone takes brilliant pictures. Is this frustrating for you? Because it's like, everybody has a camera on them now.
Yeah,
in your industry, that's...
I think, like, yeah, I mean, it really depends how you look at it. I think there will always be an art form to photography, but when it comes to maybe social media and stuff like that, it depends how... I mean, there's definitely... I had a really nice phase where people did the phone cameras and stuff. All of this wasn't as good as it is now.
Yeah.
And I was creating content for social media just before there was this, like, oh, I can just do it on my phone now. So I kind of got that right at the time. But as phones got better and better, people decided they wanted to pay less and less for kind of photography and stuff. But now I do stuff like shooting live stills, which you can't really recreate necessarily. I mean, I have seen some phone cameras that are pretty good, but you know, it can only go so far. So while you might get some nice like product snaps and things, if people really appreciate the quality of, you know, I guess it's whatever people perceive as.
Also, not everybody has natural talent. They might have a camera on them, but like, if you took a picture of a piece of toast, it would look incredible, but somebody else like might just miss it out of shot.
Like this is actually something that only occurred to me recently, because I always just thought that taking a photo was taking a photo, and the fact that it came easily to me was like, well, it's just easy. So I never thought that was a skill. I was always like, oh well, I can just, anyone can take a photo, like it's just easy. And it only really became like apparent to me that actually I must just have like a good eye for stuff. This makes me sound really big-headed, like, but it's like, you know, I wouldn't pretend to be the greatest photographer ever at all. I'm still learning in a lot of respects, but you know, just the fact that I can frame pictures or take pictures without thinking about it, and other people can't. And I actually had a conversation with a friend a couple of days ago about, because he's in a band and he's. He has like photographers that he works with regularly, and on one of his shows he had two of his photographers at once shooting the show, and it suddenly occurred to him that a picture isn't just a picture. He thought, you know, if it's well framed and well shot, that's the same picture every single person would, that was good at taking photos, could take. And he obviously appreciated the art of taking photos, but he didn't realize just how different people's perceptions could create such different environments. And he was like, they were both amazing, but they both captured such different things, and I just didn't even realize that was something that could happen.
It's really,
you know,
cool though.
Yeah, and that for me was quite interesting as well, because that, you know, I'm a strong kind of believer in the fact that we will never understand how anyone else perceives the world. The way I see things, even to the point where with the way I see colors potentially, you know, or you know, there's probably other things that are slightly less measurable, but you know, no one will ever see the way that I see the world the same way I will never see the way you see the world. Even to the point, and with the same friend I had this conversation, if I had goggles that made me see what you could see, I'd still be my perception of seeing what you could see.
Yeah.
So I will never know. But seeing photography, looking at pictures, two pictures essentially of the same thing, but from two different photographers, you could kind of get a window into the world of what they perceive, because you see what they think as dramatic or what they see as, you know, energetic or moody. You can kind of get more of a vibe of that, which I think that's quite an interesting thing to have, be able to think about now. So
yeah,
I mean, it's hard for me because I definitely need affirmation from people. It's something I've learned about myself. I need people to tell me that I'm doing a good job and I'm doing okay. I need that. Otherwise, I start, the little voices in my head start
spiral
going, no one's told you you're doing a good job, so you must be really, really shit at what you do. And then you start listening to that. And of course, you know, so not receiving that really kind of affects me quite a lot. But however, I have started having my first experiences of positive comments. Well, my first experiences of comments online in general.
Yeah.
In a slightly bigger scale than just kind of putting your work out to your mates and anyone that follows your page or whatever. So, you know, I've had a couple of bad experiences where people feel like criticizing what you do, which I found really difficult.
Yeah.
And then experiences where people unknowingly are very complimentary, and while they probably aren't thinking in their head I'm complimenting a particular person, you know, it's, you know, been for the Mastodon K-Pit, we had, I think I had a comment in particular that was like, I've never seen this band, like the intensity of this band captured so well before.
Wow.
And that
cool.
To me was like, damn,
I've done
like,
my job.
You
well.
don't, you know, and obviously I'm not the only person involved in that, but the fact that, you know, I've played a part in doing that, and you know, getting that kind of those comments back was amazing. But then I have had, you know, other things come out where people might, you know, I might have chosen to add camera shake, because if you're in the middle of a pit, you know, thing. The whole point is that you're inside, you know, the mosh pit, and you're inside this intense thing, and you don't want things to be static and boring. You need to have that kind of shake. And if I've made a creative decision to put shake in there or whatever, sometimes people are like, oh, why is the camera shaking? Because trial by social media is a thing nowadays, and people love to have opinions.
Everybody.
And it's taken a lot for me to just go, no, I stand by my decision. Because then I'm like, you know, I used to care a lot about what other people thought, and like, you know, the fact that I've made a decision in my head and I think that looks good, I'm like, well, if someone else thinks it's bad, then it must be bad, because I don't know, you know, I don't know anything. But equally, working with Kerrang has given me a lot of confidence and a lot more self-assured. Like, I like it, therefore, if you don't like it, that's just your personal opinion. And I, you know, as long as I know I'm being true to myself, then I can just be happy with that.
I mean, have you, because Kerrang sounds like an amazing place to work, but have you ever had companies, and this is something that I hear a lot of creatives say, companies that want you to work for exposure?
So for me, like, I feel like
exposure is
a bit of a grey area for me, because like, I think it really depends what the context is and what they're actually asking from you, because for me personally, if something's mutually beneficial, I'm not opposed to it. But if people want to exploit you, then I am.
Yeah.
So it really depends in what context. I don't know. It's really hard, because it's like there's undervaluing the industry, which is hard. You know, you don't want to do things for... It's a really hard topic to talk about. like, because you can, when you accept less money, for example, or accept exposure, you undervalue the industry, because then people who need to make money from certain projects have to start accepting less money for it. Yeah. Because there are people who accept less money, and it becomes this spiral. If there's a project that was never going to offer money, and or it was something that wasn't going to happen unless there was a trade-off, or it was like, you know, sometimes you have a chat with someone and they're like, oh, I really wouldn't, you know, oh, it'd be really cool to do this video idea. And they're like, oh, yeah, that would be really cool. How about you do that and I do this? That is okay, because it's not like
teamwork.
Yeah, it's not like this is something that ordinarily would be charged £600 for and I'm getting it for free. This is just like a collaboration that we've both mutually agreed on. I don't think I've experienced a lot of the bad kind. I don't think so, but I guess I just kind of ignore it.
I mean, in regards to mental health, do you find that sometimes the lows actually help with creativity?
Or do
you get a block?
I've come to love certain aspects of my anxiety and realise how beneficial some of it can be. The fact that I'm always so worried about not being perfect and stuff means I'll always overachieve.
Yeah.
And go above and beyond and always do better than what people might need. The trick is not doing it to a destructive level, because you can kind of talk yourself out of things where you're so concerned with striving for perfection, you end up not actually
doing
it at all.
Yeah.
That was a massive thing. I've only just started taking live stills up again, something I love doing, because I got so concerned with not being the best possible person out there that I was like, well, I'm not even going to try. I'm not going to put myself in a position where I'm not perfect. I'm not going to do that to myself. No, I'm just taking it back up again, because now I'm like, I'm more confident, I'm more happy with what I produce, and I realise that while I might not be in my mind as good as person over there, it doesn't mean that I'm not good. And if I'm happy with what I'm producing, then that's fine. And a lot of that has come from, you know, working with a company like Kerrang. I think where it becomes destructive, it really, really, really took a long time for me to kind of get there, because And I'm trying not to beat myself up too much for losing like 3 years of potential work, or, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to just accept the fact that that's where I was then and this is where I am now, and maybe I needed to go through that in order to be where I am. But, you know, I do kind of think I really wish that I hadn't let that affect me so much, you know, like to the point where I just wouldn't even take on work and look for work or put myself forward, you know. I don't know if Lowe's, I mean, I guess being creative and, you know, being, there's a definite correlation between people who see the darker sides and the brighter sides and feel the world more intensely, and the creative industry, because it's almost essential to see the world from so many, you know, different points of view, or feel everything, you know, I feel everything so intensely. Something I've had to come to terms with is how hypersensitive I am, how emotional I am. I used to hate it. I used to be called crybaby and all of that sort of stuff, which people don't realize actually affects you when you grow up. Yeah. And I used to get really scared about crying. I'd be like, oh no, I'm really sorry, I'm crying. And, you know, and trying not to be the sort of person that cries, but actually accepting the fact that I am just the sort of person that cries, and that's okay. And, you know, just telling people, by the way, I'm very not apologizing for it, but I'm like, I am an emotional person, so I probably will be crying throughout the duration of this conversation.
I think it's good because it means that you're very empathetic and in tune with what's going on around you, and you can see it from several different angles.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, and it does help with the creativity, because you can see, and it helps you convey certain messages as well. Like if you've really felt that despair, or you felt that elation, you can actually use that in your work, because you've seen it and felt it from that point of view, and then you can put that into the film that you're making or the photographs that you're editing. So yeah, I mean, it is positive in that respect. And I wouldn't want to, I mean as a teenager, I was prescribed like citalopram for depression and hated it because it dulled all of that, you know. That, I mean, that in itself was a good learning experience, because it made me realize to embrace the ups and downs, but I don't think I was equipped with the right tools to do that at that point in my life. And I like the fact that I'm quite in tune and quite hypersensitive. And I mean, it makes me a really good friend as well. Like, I can tell when my friends are like a little bit sad or something's off, and or if they don't want to talk, you know. It makes me really good at like judging situations and reading the room. Some people cannot read the room. But I think it makes me pretty good at that.
And so do you have any tips of anyone wanting to get into your industry that might be going for the same sort of struggles that you were a few years ago?
In the industry and in life, one of the most important things that I learnt over the last couple of years was the existence of neuroplasticity, which is the ability to change your personality, or change parts of yourself that perhaps you're not comfortable with. Uh-huh. And that's not to, if you are the way you are, it's not to say that you should change that. But I was brought up repeatedly being told that you are the way that you are and you have no control over that and you just have to accept it. So if you have anxiety and you stress out about like traveling and stuff like that, or things that actually kind of disrupt your life in a way, well, you're stuck with that.
Yeah.
You know, you can have tools around it and all of this stuff, but that's you and that's that. If you're a sort of person that snaps like that, which I used to be, that's just the way that you are, and you're just going to have to learn to love that and accept that. And I grew up with that. And I learned in the last couple of years that actually that's not as black and white as it.
Be all and end all.
If you really don't like something, i.e. being a snappy person, I really wanted to be this cool, breezy person that was like, ain't nothing. That's what I wanted to be. And I feel a lot more like that, you know. I'm not saying it's hard, and I'm not saying it's an easy thing, or that even you can't flip between the two, but I've become a lot more calm and centered person, because I've learned to recognise certain aspects that I don't like, because they affect the way that I interact with people, or they affect the way that I do my work or whatever. And I've worked hard on changing that. So if anyone tells you that something that you really hate about yourself is just the way that you are, emotionally, or that you can turn that around if you really want, and if you're really determined to, you can. And I guess that's where like mindfulness is something that's been so effective, because that is in essence what that is. It's learning to be present, which is another thing that I'd give a tip to people. Recognize the fact that perhaps you're not being present. I thought I was being present because I wasn't living in the past anymore. I thought, I'm cool with the past. Yeah, I've done some crazy shit. I've embarrassed myself. You know, I've done things that perhaps I wish I hadn't done, but it's out of my control. I did it, whatever, moving on. The world changes, nothing's permanent. People aren't going to be pissed off at you forever. People aren't going to hate you. People probably don't hate you right now, but if they do, they're not going to hate you for it. You know, the world changes and moves on. So I thought I was so present because I was so chill with the past, didn't realize how much I was living in the future. And when I kind of recognized that, I was constantly worried about having a permanent job, and like to the point sometimes where I'd be panicking about my parents dying and having panic attacks. You know, I'd be panicking about stuff like that. And since I realized I wasn't being present at all. I was just constantly thinking about what happens if I become homeless, if I don't get my next job, I'm going to be on the streets, and then blah, blah, blah. And I was living in this cloud of worrying about the present, because to me I was like, well, you can control that, surely, you know, the actions you have now in the present will be how you are in the future. So no, I realized I wasn't enjoying what I was doing. You know, even when I first started Kerrang, I was having all these amazing experiences doing these shoots with amazing bands, but I wasn't enjoying it because I was so concerned with, because I started off freelancing, what happens if they don't book me for the next job, or, you know? So I wasn't actually enjoying that moment, filming that band or doing that interview in that environment at that time. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I realised that, you know, I've now been quite good at going, right, doesn't matter what happens tomorrow, I'm having a great time now. And it's constant. It's not like something you can strive to achieve and then once you're there, you're cool. It's like you have to constantly decide that you're in the moment and present. So that's definitely like something I would everyone to check where they are. And are you in the past, the present, or the future? Because it's not always as clear cut as it seems. I guess creatively, it's so hard because obviously, like, there's all the normal things like trust yourself and your instincts and your gut. But when you're really in it and you're really struggling with like imposter syndrome, like you can't not suffer from it. Like you can't, you know, it's really, really hard to get yourself out of that paranoia.
But so you would say, be present.
Remember to be present and enjoy what, like, for example, if you're a freelancer and you panic constantly about where your next job's coming from, don't, like, just remember to enjoy what you're doing. Like, just remember if you're on a job that you really love and really enjoying right now and you're panicking about it being over and not doing it anymore, don't try to just really, really make sure that you're enjoying what you're doing. Because if you're doing that, you'll find that other things just pop along and, you know, it kind of always works out. and also that nothing's permanent, I think, as well, is quite a nice mantra. Nothing's permanent, nothing good, nothing bad. So the shit is things that's happening to you right now. The way that you feel then, you're not going to feel like that at some point in the future. But also all the good things that happen, you're not going to be happy like this forever. So to enjoy it while it's happening. Because, like, nothing that the way that you feel in this moment is not going to be how you necessarily feel. Whether you feel good or bad, you might feel bad tomorrow, you might feel good. You know, it's that. Just don't, because it's easy when you're feeling really shit to think, oh, I'm going to feel like this forever.
Yeah.
And it's also really easy to get comfortable in a good moment and think, oh, I'm always going to feel like this, and then not appreciate the fact that you're having a good moment, you know.
Well, I think that's pretty sound advice.
Yeah, I always think back to some advice that my nan used to say, that my mom would always tell me when I was younger, and I was like, what does that even mean? But now I've gotten older, it's always something I go back to, and my nan always used to say, work is never finished. I always used to think to myself, well, that's a bit weird. Now I'm starting to realise what she meant was that you can kill yourself trying to do as much work as possible, try and please as much people as you can, try and work yourself to, you know, your limits, to your wit's end, doing something you don't like, or even doing something you like but just burning yourself out, but the work is never finished. So at the end of the day, do the best that you can do, but don't overexert yourself to a point where you just destroy yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that's just not worth it. And that's really difficult, especially with someone suffering high functioning anxiety, because I would work myself to the bone and people still wouldn't be happy. So as long as you're happy with what you're doing, that's as good as it should be, you know. And if you're putting work out there that you like, then that nothing else really matters, because you can always defend that. One more advice thing. I recently realized that I'm very annoyed at the ghost of my future self.
Right.
Because at the age of 15, the ghost of my future self did not appear to me and tell me the intricacies of you should have known to expect this of muscle memory and also repetitive action. I'll tell you why I'm saying this. When people tell you that practice makes perfect, it feels like some fancy little saying that you don't listen to because your parents are just trying to keep you in line and you want to rebel against everything they say. At the age of 15, I stopped playing guitar because I believed that I would never truly be a great guitarist. If someone had actually sat me down and said, right, this is how your brain works, the more times you repeat this particular scale, your fingers are going to remember how to do that, and you're just going to be able to do it automatically.
Yeah.
I would have gone, cool, I'll keep doing that then. No. So please, guys, if anyone's trying to learn anything.
The guitar.
Or do anything.
Or the drums.
It's everything. It's even, you know... I think the most one of the most valuable things I've also learned, I've learned a lot of valuable things, sorry. I talk a lot as well, I don't think they realised, is the fact that in order to be good at something, you have to be rubbish at it first. And to keep going, because when you take your first picture, it will be shit. But that's okay. Even if it's great, it's going to be a lot shitter than how you're going to be
in the future,
in 10 years' time. So just keep doing whatever you're doing, just keep going. If you have a passion, if you have something that you want to do, just keep doing it. As long as you're doing it for yourself, then that's fine, you know, like just keep doing it, because your ghost of your future self will not appear and you'll be beating yourself up in 10 years time being like, why did I give that up? I could have been great now. So yeah.
Well, I think we should dedicate this episode to the ghost of your future self.
Could have been an amazing jazz flute. But
right? It's all worked out, you know.
Thank you for joining us today.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned quite a lot. So it is, you can change things you don't like about yourself.
Or like, I think you've got to pick the things that you can accept, i.e. being an over, like the fact that my anxiety makes me good at my job. So not to kind of go, oh, I've got anxiety, I must get rid of it.
Yeah.
More the fact that, right, my anxiety makes me good at my job, but also sometimes it can make me snap or impulsive. Yeah. I don't like snapping or being impulsive because that actually creates problems in interaction. It upsets other people. I think that's more important for me anyway. So, but I was always told that that's just the way you are, so you have to kind of learn to deal with that. Whereas now I'm a lot calmer and I feel like a completely different person. Like, you can do that.
And to also be present.
To be present, and that's something that is constant, but it gets easier.
And to never stop learning the guitar or whatever it is.
Yeah, just don't quit at the first hurdle. Or if there's a little voice in your head saying that you'll never be good enough, like, just stick a sock in their mouth.
Literally.
Because it does, at the end of the day, like, it doesn't, you know, you might never be good enough, but is that like the worst possible, like, you know, you might not be good enough, but if you stop, then you'll never know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you to everybody for listening. Please do send in any questions or stories or anything that Esme may have said that's sparked a fire in your mind, a good kind or bad kind,
mm-hmm.
And or maybe even a particular situation that maybe we could help with. If you haven't already followed us on Instagram, it is Wayne, you can do it today. Can you do it today?
Okay. the kind underscore
yeah.
the chaotic.
No, underscore. Wrong.
Damn.
It's the kind the kind underscore the creative underscore oh. the chaotic on Instagram. Other than that, have a fantastic day and do something that your future self will be grateful for, whether it's like one line of a poem you've been trying to write or brainstorming an idea, just do it.
Yeah, that's one more thing I've got to say, because I don't stop talking. If you have an idea in your brain and you want to do it, don't not do it. Just fucking do it, right? Don't worry about what people think. Don't worry that people laugh at you or put you down for it, because they might, but that's just their problem. Just fucking do it.
Don't burn houses down, guys.
Like, we don't burn houses down unless you're putting on a good track yeah. in a house and everyone's partying in that way. Burn that house down, but don't.
Yeah, don't
actually burn a house down, because
it's a very serious crime.
No one's cool with that.
People can get hurt. Like, yeah. Arson's not cool, guys.
No.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Can you stop? Remember, I told you that I have an anxiety issue.